Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn and with the greatest of care. To the hen house, something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us." He kindly point that gun the other way and holler, holler, holler up and hit the hay. And getting chicks to hats cold. There ain't nobody here but us chickens, honey. Nobody at all. So quiet yourself. Stop on that bus. There ain't nobody here but us. They kinda point that gun the other way. And how I'm do you stay all right?
Yeah. You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3 KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, or FM 93.3 KPHD LP Modesto Ceres.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn The Backstory.
Well, once again, welcome to The Backstory on 93.3 FM and on The Backstory, 846-1814. If you're listening in your cell or at home, but in the car and your radio, 93.3 FM. Today is Wednesday, and today is a sort of a historic day. 3 years ago, we elected Ted Brandwald as mayor of the city of Modesto, and Ted was a complete novice, I think. Maybe he did some time on a planning commission or whatever. But at that time, the local political machine recruited him to run as mayor and to run against Garrett Marsh. See, I remember that from the other day. I'd forgotten who he beat in that election. But for 3 years, there has been no State of the City address. Well, it's happening today. Today, Wednesday, at 11:30 to 1 p.m. So you can, at 11:30, if you jog right on over to the convention center, you'll see that you have to have reservations, though, don't you, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah. So who do you make your reservations with? With the Chamber of Commerce. You got to pre-register. Well, there's two categories to pre-register. And one, you can pre-register as a person who wants to eat lunch, and that'll cost you $40. Now, this whole system of paying for the State of the City address isn't new. It's new now because it hasn't been done for 3 years, but what they would do is the chamber would promise an audience. That meant that we'll get you an audience to listen to your State of the City address. But we'll have a luncheon, and you'll perform for us, and we'll make money for the chamber. Going back even 8 years further, when we had Jim Ridenour as our mayor, a new mayor, they guaranteed audiences by having the State of the City speech given at a local high school to the kids. I thought that was good, but it certainly is indicative of today of what's going on or has been going on in the city for the last 3 years. Did Branville have nothing to talk about the first year or the second year? And now he's been forced by the local newspaper to give a speech today. And that speech, of course, is written by his supporters. You know, I'm not quite sure where Branville stands today in the political climate with George Petrolakis, the land use attorney and political guru of Stanislaus County, and Jim DeMartini. Jim DeMartini has been chair of the Republican Central Committee. He is on the Board of Supervisors, long time there. Well, DeMartini is supporting Branville. I'm told that he raised $50,000 to reelect Mayor Branville next year. That would be 2020. So it would be, what, about 18 months, 17 months before the next election. So I guess he's got plenty of time to spend 50 grand. Well, today, we're going to see what kind of spin is going to put on this first State of the City address. Now, if you're going to go down, make sure you call the chamber. I'm sure you can pre-register on the phone. So, I don't know. I'll bet that if you just showed up there and said, I'm just here to listen, they're not going to deny you entrance or anything. I guess they will ask you if you're pre-registered, and if you say no, they'll escort you to the back of the room where you can sit in a chair listening to the mayor while the people of power and means who want to donate money to Chamber of Commerce. I sometimes think that that's sort of a conflict, or maybe it should be, maybe at least it should be looked at, where you have the mayor of a city, the mayor of Modesto, giving the State of the City address, and having the Chamber of Commerce sponsor the event and make money from the event, then the money at election time will be donated back to the mayor. Maybe, is that too far around the corner, do you think?
I think so.
It's too far around the corner?
Does the chamber endorse and give financial backing?
Absolutely. Big bucks through their political PAC.
Well, then, I excuse my answer. That's totally feasible.
The chamber really hasn't been a business organization since since George Petrolakis joined, and the big battle at the time was, should the Chamber of Commerce endorse political candidates? Up until George was most interested in politics, the fight was no, we should advise and consent on issues for the community, specifically the business community. Well, Paul George came in and convinced the, I don't know if he convinced the old timers, but as the old timers left, the new timers decided, yeah, that's what we should do. So they formed a political action committee, and I assume they kept that money straight. What money went for chamber operations and what money went for political activity. I know one gimmick they used to do, and I'm sure that this isn't quite legal. The chamber has a magazine that they send out, and it's, I think they send it out to 3,000 people. Okay? Except at election time. At election time, they send it out to 5,000 people. Well, I think the regulation is when you have a magazine like this for a nonprofit like the Chamber, the magazine is for your members. But now, if you're endorsing political candidates, you send it out to your members and others. Non-members.
Yeah, don't they do some sort of questionnaire for candidates?
Yeah.
And they skipped you.
Yeah, they did. They did. There's been hard feelings, apparently. I enjoy people, members of the chamber, but their hierarchy is, I guess the guy they pin everything on is Cecil Russell. I understand Russell attended the city council meeting last night. I guess there was, I missed it. I'm sorry. Almost didn't even want to come on here today because that's okay. We'll get all the information today. And we'll get back to you tomorrow about what happened last night. It wasn't in the paper today, of course, but in a short conversation I had this morning, apparently the fight went on. And there was a huge fight about the Monica Lewinsky case, the issue of getting a new city auditor. I think the council, from what I was told, isn't in too big of a hurry to elect another auditor.
Monica Houston, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Monica Houston, but she's out. She's not going to be reselected. But Manny Grewal apparently pushed the council to do it right away. Let's get a city auditor in here. I wonder who they could get that would be independent. I wonder what reputable auditing firm would want it, given the fact that they have to know what happened to Monica Houston. They had to know that when they did their job, her job, she was asked to leave. Well, they also have to know that she got $225,000 just to leave and keep her mouth shut. So, and it's that bad, folks. They can't find a city attorney. They can find a city attorney. The city attorney is there, and he's going to stay there until his power base disappears or until he sometimes might get in trouble, either with the council itself or with the Bar Association. Hello. I mean, let's not jump ahead here. It's pretty tough to get in trouble with the Bar Association. It also protects its members. But in any event, that would almost have to happen. Getting back to the city auditor, however, who do you hire? You want to go back to, right now we have Meyer-Knave. One of the principals of Meyer-Knave is Adam Lindgren. And Adam is on an open contract with the city of Modesto to represent them in legal matters. We've said this many times before. I don't know if I've seen it in the B yet, maybe a while back. Lindgren's firm bills the county $11 million for legal protection. Then, because he has an open contract and he has a power to hire other law firms, he hires other law firms to the tune of $9 million. I don't see how a city can afford to let themselves be taken the way they have been. You know, the other issue that, again, talking about money, apparently the city of Modesto has offered $2.6 million to settle medical insurance claims. Kevin DeLand wrote a story that the city council on Tuesday evening approved spending $2.6 million to settle $6.6 million in claims, reimburse employees for claims they have paid, and pay a claims administrator to negotiate and settle the claims on the city's behalf. Now, they're gonna make some direct payments here to the employees that have already paid their bill, but they've hired this guy, and I think it's S&S, and he's a Southern California based firm. It is S&S. The city council heard from a city employee who expressed shock Modesto would use S&S Healthcare to negotiate and settle claims. And I guess the way that worked was you had $1,000 claim. The city of Modesto, your employee owes Doctors Hospital $1,000. Now, if the employee pays it, then the city tells the employee, okay, we'll reimburse you the $1,000. But on top of that, there is this administrative action which allows S&S Healthcare to negotiate with the hospital. In other words, they would go in and say, we can write you a check now for $500 on this account. Would you accept that? And if the hospital does, that means that S&S has saved the city $500. Well, what does S&S get out of that? Well, they get 20%. So I think there are over $4 million. And contested medical costs. $4 million, $4.5 million, somewhere in there. So the city hires S&S and they go out. Now, let's say that they are successful 100% and they settle the $4 million for $2 million. And then they would get 20% of $2 million. Well, of course, we know that's not going to happen because a lot of people just aren't going to settle. But why should I take half? It's going to be there. All right, so there was a city employee, his name was Ron Strobel. This is Ron's speech, comments to the Modesto City Council. When I hear S&S Healthcare, I think incompetent, Water Department employee Ron Strobel said. In retrospect, though, I kind of think maybe they were in some ways complicit with Riverstone. Riverstone is the insurance company that went bankrupt, causing the city to have to pay off these claims. okay? They were complicit with Riverstone in this whole mess because, if nothing else, they put off payments, which is what Riverstone needed because they did not have the money. Oh, I got it. S&S was putting off payments to claimants on payment for medical care. And then when postponing, but the insurance company was in charge of making those payments. So then when the insurance company, Riverstone, went bankrupt, S&S is still there saying, well, we're not stalling now. We're offering to pay you with city council money. So Deputy City Manager Kalua Barnes acknowledged Brandwell's concerns about the ultimate cost to the city. Will it be more than $2.6 million? I will. I expect it will, Barnes said. Will it be $8.3 million? I don't think it will be. I think it's in our best interest to give it a shot at getting the claim settled for less than 100%. Joe Lopez said if more money is needed, then staff will come back to the council to discuss how to do that. So go out, try and settle as many as you can. Those that you can't settle, come on back, and we'll see if we can do something different. Okay? So Joe Lopez's firm point is that we have to start trying to negotiate these claims down. Then Bill Zelocki gets involved and said there could be a huge difference between what healthcare providers charge and their true costs. And Zelocki brings up an example of a $30 aspirin. He says, you know, they marked it up, so we're hiring a company to go in and beat them down a little bit and get down to a real number that they really need to have. That's not easy, but at the same time, if we don't try, we're paying $8 million. Well, Bill, you're paying $8 million you really don't have. You got to take it from somewhere else. Okay? Well, Zelocki pointed out to the opinion of an independent fiduciary appointed by the court to oversee Riverstone that the unpaid claims are the responsibility of the 119 employers. We're not talking about 119 employers. We're talking about City of Modesto. Don't cloud the issue. So we're one of the 119 employers that used Riverstone to provide health insurance for their employees. Well, the fiduciary has a proposed liquidation plan for Riverstone, and these claims all need to be resolved by mid-July. So, that's, remember we talked about this being the longest political campaign in the history of Modesto, in that it has already started and it won't end until Election Day in November of 2020, maybe a year and a half away. What kind of
Doug Wright and Elrond, those guys are
going to... Doug Wright and Elrond, I understand. I heard this morning, definitely is in the running. Zelocki. And you know they're in the running when they see their names in the paper all the time. Because the beep sort of picks out. It's sort of like on the presidential level. When you got 20 candidates and you only hear about three or four,
yeah,
what do the other 16 think? Well, you know. they're not too much interested in us. Well, in this case, the B will promote those candidates. They'd like to see who make the playoffs. Who's going to make the playoffs? So they'll ignore candidates who they don't want, and they'll give press to candidates. Obviously, I don't think they will endorse Mayor Brandel again.
No.
My guess is the B is not going to do that. Although, you know, who am I to predict what they do? But Brandwell's record, that's why it would be so interesting to, and maybe I can get down there. Well, I guess if I read the mayor's comments, it's just as good. I doubt if he's going to be handling any questions at all today. I would think not.
Publish a transcript of what?
Oh, yeah, no, they already have it. It's already out. I'm sure the city clerk has it. So it's already out there. As to when they're going to put it online, I don't know. I mean, it's not like waiting for the Mueller report. I mean, we're going to see it. Maybe Brandwell will, after comments on his speech, will have regrets of not redacting most of it. But we'll wait and see. So, the other article that was in the paper when Sunday, thinking about, I just had it here, Dave. Well, this is a thumbs up. The Emerson Drake article. We got to run that again and again. And that was the article, I think, the article on Monica Houston. I think. And Emerson Drake got his picture in the paper, and he got his article, and it was well written. Maybe that's why the editors didn't turn him down. But, you know, he's got a blog called Eye on Modesto. I think it would be fair, more respectful, if, of course, the Modesto Bee doesn't want to advertise for other news sources. But wouldn't it be fair to say, the Bee, when they refer to Emerson Drake of the Eye on Modesto? No, they refer to him as a blogger activist. Well, activist is a code word for a right-wing critic or even a left-wing critic. Depends on who you're criticizing. Well, I'm going to check into this. If I get some time, I'm going to run down to the convention center. And if you're hearing this now, and go down and pre-register outside and walk in. And tomorrow, of course, we will have audio of the mayor's speech. And we won't do the whole speech, but we'd like to know where he stands on these issues: Monica Houston, payment of the medical bills, the insurance company, overpayment on $16 million worth of spending. And so, listen, Modesto, I got a good way for you to love Modesto, to make it good. Love Modesto. Love your neighborhood first. And then after you've done a great job in your neighborhood, then go out and love Modesto. That's it. That's it for today. We'll talk to you tomorrow again at 11. Thanks for listening.